Bianca?
Ruth?
Domino's?
Ruth? Hello?
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula chimincha. Tati. Serira. Alapid Gimel. Gutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagrenu Taharenu Nora. Ufre Shayan Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Tibet. The Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. And the Ayin that created the constellation Gedi, the goat, the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the Ayin and the Bet have a gematria of 72, which connects us to the Sephirah of Chochmah, of wisdom. Na Gibor, Dor She Yehudcha, Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kav Shin Barchem Tacharem Rakame Sitkatcha Tamid Gamrem Betetresh Study Tach Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we're going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Lechanun, Erech Apayim, Berav Chesed Be'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseawon Vafesha Vechata'a Vinakei. We're now going to read the verses that would connect us to the energies of the years, this year and previous years. And we're going to start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Te Bid Hilu Urchimu, Hilu, Hilu, Urchimu. Leachta, Lishem, Yud, He, Bevav, He. Bechuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino, Amadonai, Eloheinu, Aleinu, Maasei, Adenu, Kunanei, Aleinu, Maasei, Adenu, Kunaneihu. The first year we're going to be connecting to is this year, 5777, the year of the goat, the year of the wake-up. And we're going to connect with two verses. The first one is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni Katsipor, Oyevai Hinam. The first letters of these words can be parsed into three Hebrew words, Tzatz, Ki, Af, and that translates as appear like brothers. The final letter of the verse's words can be permutated into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, and that's translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yehovahe Elohechem Tadabaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to connect to the year 5776, the year of the pause. And there are two verses that connect to that energy as well. The first is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelo tam lacha Yad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav leitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Re Ka Ha. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bitu Ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade ad ki biya yo he Adonai yo he wahe tzur olamim. Now for the year 5775, the year that death is swallowed up forever, there are three verses, starting with Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. First Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavu iya, asher yitchabe sham ushavtem elai el nachom. And the third verse is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayom. And then the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to that verse, that energy. That's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam timakom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'achta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bene avla la anoto kaasher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29, and the energy of this Pasuk is certainty, something that every everyone needs more of. Rabbi Abba Amar Bika Matar Tane Nan Tiku Chabarihu Koma Diaved Leela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Bilvada Dikshot Belate Lachmila Bialma Divaye Barnash Ladahya Leya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Telana Dehakulhu Ovada Dikshot Inun Vikola Itsterish Bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim who left today is the 12th of Tibet. There are only three who left today, which is an indication that the energy is very strong. Yes, it's the day after the fast, the day after the 10th. But the fact that so few tzaddikim leave this day, less is more when it comes to spirituality. Rabbi Moshe Margulis, Rabbi Moshe of Peshkborsk, and Rabbi Mordechai Chaim Kastelantis of Tveria. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. So tonight's class is an essay by Rabbi Ashlag, and we're going to read essay number 26, which is located on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it's row 16, the right-hand column, Rabbi Ashlag's teachings. When we open that up, scroll down to essay number 26, which is titled, The Wisdom of Israel Compared to the Wisdom of Others. And this class will be relatively short, but it's very powerful, just as the Tzaddikim who left. It's an indication that less is more when it comes to spirituality. The standard by which to evaluate a wisdom. The value of any wisdom in the world is according to the purpose that it yields. This is the goal to which all the scrutinizers aim. Therefore, a wisdom without some purpose is inconceivable, except for infants playing games. Since to pass the time, they come. And this is their purpose, according to their value. For this reason, a wisdom is not evaluated by keenness and proficiency, but according to the merit of the purpose that it yields. And I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag is telling us that all wisdoms have a goal. If this goal is based on physical issues, then it is not an important wisdom. This pasuk also establishes a general criteria to evaluate wisdoms, you know, comparing to other wisdoms. Continuing to read. You therefore find that any external wisdom is only for the purpose of physicality, which is sure to be gone today or tomorrow. In that case, it is sufficient for the subject to be as the predicate. And I am adding, wisdoms that has a significant approach to physicality will disappear, just as the physical worlds will disappear. And although the wisdom has many advantages over these subjects, for whenever, wherever it is nonetheless a spiritual element. But we have already said that it is evaluated by the purpose, which is its persistence for eternity. And if the purpose is transitory and fleeting, it is lost along with it. Now we have a standard by which to gauge the significance of the wisdom of Israel compared to the wisdom of to the external wisdoms. It concerns only the understanding of the ways of the Creator over His creations and adhering to Him. It follows that the very essence of this wisdom relies on the Creator, and because the importance of the Creator compared to His creations, which He has created, is inconceivable, the merit of the wisdom of Israel compared to external wisdoms is also inconceivable. And I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that any wisdom that is not eternal will be less valued than the Torah wisdom, since Torah wisdom is connected to the Creator. And because the very essence of our wisdom is ever valid and eternal, our entire wisdom will also remain eternal. And because it concerns favoring approaching the Creator, which is the finest goal that can ever be perceived, one who engages in it, and certainly one who has rewarded with it, is the finest of the finest among the speaking species. And I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag is telling us that the goal of the wisdom of Torah is to become closer to the Creator, and that is the finest possible goal. In comparison to other wisdoms, the Torah must be considered more valuable, since its goal is to connect to the Creator. Fools have no desire. But fools have no desire. Therefore, the house of Israel are few, as our sages have written. 1,000 people commence with the Bible, with the Torah. Of those 1,000, 100 will start to study the Mishnah. Of those 100, 10 will study the Talmud. And of those 10, one of them comes out to teach. The same can be said about the Zohar. I've heard it expressed in the Kabbalah Center back in the middle 90s. If we had 1,000 people come to a free introductory class, 100 would sign up for a basic class. And of those 100, 10 would finish that class and sign up for a second class. And of those 10, only one would purchase a set of Zohar and start to utilize that tool. Now I am adding a written comment. Are you a member of the House of Israel? This is not the same as, do you have a Jewish mother? or did you convert to the Jewish religion in an Orthodox manner? The house of Israel is a few people who have purified themselves. To answer yes, you must be considered a permanent righteous person who always or almost always acts in righteous ways. Continuing with Rabbi Ashlag's essay. I saw the children of the ascent, and they are few. There are many reasons for it, but the main one is that all who begin with it wish to taste it in full, and the smallest of the measures of those fools is to at least know the righteousness of his guidance. I am adding, it is very hard to have the patience to stay in the moment once one has tasted closeness to the Creator. Continuing to read. There is a sort of a must to know, and it can be made known according to the spirit of the fool. But what shall we do to our sister in the day when she is spoken for? After all, our wisdom can be interpreted in every way, except for the way of the stomach. For the subjects of this wisdom do not need the way of the sub-stomach. This is what we wanted to clarify, and we shall clarify it in a separate essay. For it is the beginning of the confusion, and it's also its end. And I am adding, what is the meaning of the way of the stomach? Adam and Chava did not have a stomach or any digestive system. In my opinion, the way of the stomach means something that is connected to a physical wisdom. You shall live a sorrowful life, God forbid. Go and see. You will find that there is one prerequisite to every wisdom, even to external wisdoms. Live a sorrowful life. It is a well-known thing that anyone who has merited the title sage disparages every worldly pleasure. According to the measure of the abstention that one's soul chooses to tolerate due to the affliction of pursuing the wisdom, to that very extent does one find it. Thus we should ask one question regarding all the sages in the world together. Every love emerges from one's own flesh and self, and returns to one's own self and flesh. Thus, how do all the sages fail in loving wisdom, whose beginning and end is nothing but the labor of the flesh? Indeed, any experienced person knows that the greatest of all the world's imaginable pleasures is to win people's favor. Obtaining this coveted thing is worth making every effort and worldly concession. This is the magnet to which the finest in every generation are drawn, and for which they trivialize the whole of the worldly life. Also, each wisdom comes with its own terminology, whose progenitors have established and by which they explain their wishes. That language is a mediator, close to the wisdom itself and close to the ones engaging in it, since there is a great advantage to it in that it uses few words to explain many things. I am adding, I have been taught by my Kabbalistic teachers that there is nothing wrong with pursuing wealth. If that wealth is pursued for selfish reasons, it will create chaos in the life of the pursuer. Yet pursuit of the wisdom of Kabbalah requires a lessening of the desire for oneself alone. Thus, to pursue wealth along with pursuing Kabbalistic wisdom requires that wealth to be pursued for the purpose of elevating others, others' material benefit. Learn this lesson well, and review it often. The carriers of the wisdom of truth and the carriers of an external wisdom. According to the merit of the wisdom of truth, it is evident that the prerequisite that applies to any wisdom applies to it as well, namely to disparage worldly life. But in addition to that is the need to disparage the collective magnet, people's favor. An external sage disparages worldly life in order to be saved from wasting one's precious time on obtaining it. Such is the case with all the fools. Due to their fondness of worldly life, they waste their time on it. The sage is saved from them, like a fugitive, due to his choice to ridicule worldly life. In return for this, he will obtain wisdom during that same time. I am adding, due to his desire and his effort towards wisdom rather than materiality, desire wisdom and you will obtain that as well as material wealth and comforts. Pursue wealth and comforts, you will receive this, but not the wisdom to know how to use it in conformance with the plan of creation. And thus it will be lost, God forbid. Continuing with the essay. By that you can deduce regarding the sages of truth that as long as they do not disparage the collective magnet, winning people's favor, they are not at all ready to attain this wisdom. That person will waste the time on winning people's favor and will, as the fools who waste their time on worldly life, such a person's heart is not free to attain a pure and clean wisdom and is unfit to win the Creator's favor. And this is simple. Now you can understand why our wisdom was undesirable to people in the world and why they do not regard it even as an inferior wisdom. They are mistaken because of the different subjects. For the whole purpose of external wisdom is to win people's favor. Therefore, they exert to cloak their wisdom with a superficial garment that even the fools will accept, since they are the majority and they are the ones who make every famous person famous. I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag makes a very good case that pursuing people's favor is less important to pursue the worst than to pursue the wisdom of Torah. Also, Rabbi Ashlag states unequivocally that to pursue the wisdom of Torah, one must disparage pursuing the favor of the people. One must follow one's own path to discover truth. Truth will never be found in the favor of people. This is my opinion. Concealing the wisdom of truth from the fools. But the sages of truth had no interest in showing part of the wisdom to an extent that the fools will accept, since these fools have no desire. I wish to say that even if the sages of the generation strove to educate them about the truth so they would accept it, still not because of that will they commence with the Torah. And I am adding, people will start to learn the wisdom of Torah when their pursuit of wealth fails, when their pursuit of the favor of people fails, when they have failed and must pick themselves up off the floor. Learn this lesson well so that you do not have to fall down to the floor. The fool has no desire unless by the revealing of his heart and matters that are close to him, namely that relate to worldly pleasures. I have already explained that the fool does not remain in folly due to his loathing of the wisdom, but due to his nearness to people's delight. For this, his whole life will not suffice to satisfy half his wishes. For this reason, he has no time for wisdom, even if he likes it, and even if the sages who are famous in external wisdoms were regarded as fools and worldly compared to this wisdom due to their nearness to people winning people's favor, which in relation to this wisdom is tantamount to worldly lusts and bodily satiations. Our sages did not disclose development from the wisdom of truth. Because of it, our sages did not disclose to the fools any development from the wisdom of truth. For it is a great offense, as our sages said. As one is commanded to say what is heard, one is also commanded not to say what is not heard. And it is also written in the Zohar in many places, woe if I say, woe if I do not say. If I say, the unworthy will know how to serve their master, etc. Because of the importance of the wisdom, to avoid needlessly making it empty words in the mouths of the fools, as those who are fed by the passion of their hearts will not be nourished by the brightness of the Shekhinah, by the divinity for certain. As our sages said, all whose heart is proud, etc. This is the reason why each time the wicked Malchut spreads over the generation, our holy Torah is promptly sentenced to be burned, as has happened to us several times, and even in our generation. It was so because they had loathed the wisdom of his uniqueness, which is always sour in the eyes of the fools, as I have explained, that they do not find any purpose in it by which to satisfy their foul lusts. On the contrary, they are robbed because of it, for they cannot enjoy and they do not enjoy the incest in public. The only thing that pacifies their hearts, and I am adding, in history, there have been many times and in many locations that the Torah or the Talmud has been burned. In Rabbi Ashlag's time, the Torah scrolls were being destroyed due to the mistaken belief that the letter Sadi was not written properly within these scrolls. It was through his efforts in finding a scroll that proved the truth that the Tzadi can be written in a Torah scroll in two different ways, was these Torah scrolls saved for us to learn this wisdom. If something can happen to destroy the wisdom of the Torah, then the value of winning people's favor will always prove to be a false goal. May it always be true. In the Zohar, this is an unwritten commentary. In the Zohar, it describes a statement, and I don't remember which parasha, but it essentially says that there will be no Torah scrolls left. Why would it say that? Because of what Rabbi Ashlag is telling us and hinting to us. But it's also an indication that we are winning this war against darkness, war against negativity and evil, because Rabbi Ashlag was able to save many Torah scrolls And many of the Torah scrolls that were destroyed or abused in the European War, the Second World War, many of them are finding homes in our current world, our current generation. Not enough, of course, but many. So the fact that there are still Torah scrolls and there are still Torah scrolls being written is an indication that the war is being won. Does anyone have any questions? Classes at 4:30 tomorrow, we will have a mini Zohar class. And that Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. And at Wednesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30, advanced reincarnation. And at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class on the Parashah of Vayigash. Vayashi. Saturday, 6 o'clock, we will have a Havdalah and third meal ritual to help people who are ill to improve their immune system and to bring the energy of Shabbat into the week. At 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Shemot. Sunday at 10:30, we will have a class, which I think you'll find to be quite stimulating. It's a series of classes, and I'm not sure we'll be able to complete them, but I'm going to try. That has to do with deeper meditations and unifications. And at 2 o'clock West Coast time, we will have basic class number six. So I hope you will strive for that. It's always good to review it. If you didn't hear the class on this past Sunday, it's recommended that you listen to it on the recordings page, as it's a very powerful class, the way it was discussed and what was drawn through me. Remember, this is not material that I make up. This is not material that I am speaking about. You are deciding what you want to hear, and you're drawing that wisdom through me. That's why I don't remember many times what I've said. I wish you all a good evening, much shalom, much happiness. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.